Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's gear for sea and get underway. Money is a funny thing. We all think it'll make us happy or happier at least.
But so many of us simultaneously see money as the enemy. How many times do we hear people refer to money as the root of all evil?
Strong societal taboos around money can even hurt a home-based business owner.
Today's podcast guest believes that changing your attitude about wealth can improve an entrepreneur's chances of gaining wealth.
A better financial attitude, key to generating more profits, can strengthen your financial resilience.
Rebecca Hulse is a Wealth Creators Anonymous facilitator who travels the world helping others realize their financial dreams.
So, greetings, Rebecca Hulse. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our listeners.
Hey, everyone. Good to meet you.
Thanks for coming on our show.
So if the accent hasn't given you away yet, you are calling in from New Zealand?
Yes, I am. Christchurch, New Zealand.
All right. So tell us, you're coming into fall. How do you pronounce that?
Autumn.
Autumn. Very nice.
You're our first guest from New Zealand, but they're, you know, in studying the whole home-based business world, there seems to be a lot of entrepreneurship. In New Zealand, you've got, you know, good internet, good infrastructure there. So it seems like there's a lot of vibrancy there in the startup world.
There really is. It's starting to really take off, and you know, New Zealand's business laws definitely make it very easy.
Oh, good point.
Okay, so Rebecca, let's get to know you better. Talk with us about your journey to becoming a Wealth Creators Anonymous facilitator, an author, and speaker at such a young age.
Well, what I was looking at was, I've always been one that has a target. I've always wanted to go after something, reach for it, attain it, and then look for the next thing. And so I created like a bit of a bucket list for my life that I thought I could get done by age 30. And that was to create a job where I could dance professionally and earn money from it, travel the world, and create a business on the side and find the love of my life. And I was sitting on this cruise ship having a glass of wine. I had a show that night, and I was sitting next to my boyfriend going, oh my gosh, I've actually done all of this. And going, huh, well, I'm 20, so not right now, I was then. And what am I gonna do now? Like, what's
wait, 20 years old? I mean, I was older than that, and I was stomping around in boot camp in the Navy, not knowing what the heck I was gonna do. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. And then this little tool dropped into my lap, this body of work called Access Consciousness, and I started using those tools and creating a business that was empowering people to be able to change anything. And the area of business and money has always been of great interest and capacity for me. And so that's been where I've shaped everything since then.
So, you know, you kind of recognized in your elderly seasoned worldview at 20, you saw some things about, you know, wealth creation and money and, you know, some taboos, everything. And that kind of guided the path you took in your early 20s then.
Exactly. I mean, technically, I've been in business 10 years. My first business was at 8 years old, making all the neighbors pay me and my brother money to take the rubbish out for them. Like, I'd always created little businesses as a kid. So it was something that my parents definitely encouraged in me. They even sat me down at one stage and said, Rebecca, it's great you want to be a dancer. We love that. We're supportive of that. How much does a dancer make? And right, I went, yeah. I know they don't really make a lot of money. I get it. I want to do it. And they're like, that's okay. But, you know, if you want to live the way that you like to live, you're a bit of a princess. You're going to need to do something else as well. And I went, yeah, I'll do that later. And so I always knew that I had creating businesses and having more than one income stream as a choice to me. I just didn't institute it until I was about 18.
So you learned early on the value of diversification.
Yes, I did.
Well, Rebecca, what are some taboos around money that are keeping people from being wealthy, particularly for a small business owner?
Well, one of the biggest things that I see, that it doesn't matter who you are in the world, but talking about money is not okay, especially not to the people that you are the closest to. and the people that you could actually have a really good conversation about. And to me, if you lift off that lid and you're willing to just start bringing money into the conversation, not as right, not as wrong, just a new element in your conversations, it'll just start to lift the lid off. Because part of the whole thing about a taboo is that because it's not talked about, because it's all under the radar, that means that so many secrets get created about it. And you'll find if you start talking about them that most of them are not actually true.
So what you're saying, there's like a lot of an emotional charge. It's, you know, money, exactly. The concept is emotionally charged. And so the first step is to take away that charge to it so you can look at it objectively.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and when you start, go for it.
No. So what are some steps that people can take to change their mindset? And so they stop looking at talking about money as being taboo.
So I think asking questions is truly one of the greatest ways that you can start to get a different perspective on absolutely anything. And it applies here as well. So you can start to ask questions like, what's my point of view here? That's a really good starting question for yourself. And then, you know, you can simply turn that on the table. What's your point of view about this? Mm-hmm. And notice how much of a non-threatening question that is. Like, it's not like a scary place to start. It's something that you could just easily open up. People love to be asked their opinion.
And so what you're saying to get started with this change of mindset, you're saying that, you know, to start asking questions, simple questions about, you know, how you feel about money and, you know, key issues related to money.
Exactly. Because once you know what your point of view is, you can change it.
Oh. So by kind of like getting those viewpoints out on the table by asking questions, you can see where you need to change your mindset and gear it more towards wealth creation then.
Exactly. Because the next question I suggest you ask is that point of view working for me? Because we tend to take a lot of things and, you know, we like to handicap ourselves a lot. We seem to be really good at that. And so by asking, okay, is this a point of view that's helping me or hindering me? Then you can start to go, all right, well, do I want to keep the things that are weighing down in my backpack? Like, you know, that fourth pair of shoes that you didn't really need to take. Do I really need to take that? Or do I want to change it?
Yeah, I think it was back in ancient Greece, Socrates, they called it the Socrates method or Aristotle, one of those two. I was at least sort of paying attention to that in school. They talked about questioning and asking questions to, you know, to learn about issues. Well, let's spend a little bit more about what you're talking about with driving out these financial taboos once you do identify them and talk through them. What, you know, do you have any money management tips for small business owners, you know, kind of related, you know, after you drive out these financial or identify these financial taboos and try to drive them out a little bit?
So a couple of things here. A lot of us don't even let ourselves desire money, which sounds crazy if you're in business. Like, it's the one part that you're like, yes, I'll be successful. Yes, I'll make lots of sales. No, I won't let myself desire the money. And so often when I ask my clients, what I will find is that they haven't even calculated or considered how much money they would actually like to be making for their business to thrive. They know the break-even number, but they don't know the number of what it takes for them to truly be thriving. And so I actually ask all of my clients to sit down and write out everything your life and business would cost if it was thriving. So, you know, in your personal life, how do you like to travel? Where do you want to stay? Do you want to stay in nice hotels? You know, how much money do you want just for what you want to spend on groceries? And, you know, do you want to go out to dinner? So that's for your personal life. And then for your business, what are those possibilities that you'd like to invest in? Would you like to take up, you know, something like a PR agent, someone that you can delegate a lot of those tasks to that you don't necessarily want to do? So if you write everything out in full of exactly how much you would want your life and living and business to cost, and then add 10% for the honoring of you, and then add another 20% for everything else that happens that you're not quite sure is going to show up. And that's the number that you need to be asking for.
So maybe kind of where this is going is that you look at, you know, the potential of different revenue streams that you have and what the revenue potential could be, you know, what you want that to make, and then identify some of these barriers or ways that you can leverage to help achieve those revenue streams. Or you, like you mentioned, hire a PR agent, to, you know, help develop one of those streams. So is that kind of where you want to go with this as a business
owner? A
little
bit, yes. So, but it's a bit of a swap. You're not actually looking at where, what your revenue streams are at this point, because for most people, spending money is easier than having money. So we're using that point of view to their advantage and looking at where they would like to spend their money. And then that's why you add the 10% extra and the 20% extra. We're helping with the halving of money. And then the next step is to look at what possibility streams do I have available and how can I exponentialize everything that I have as a way to make money.
Well, it's a good, you know, it's a good responsible way of looking at it. You identify the cost and then what revenues you have and be realistic about it. And then I like that where you're getting into the mindset, which, you know, it, early on in what you were talking about, it really is a key barrier that people always focus on. How do I break even? It's all about how do I just survive, you know, get to the 6 month in cash flow, where you got to expand past that and look at what's the true revenue potential of where your business can go.
Exactly. Because if you're just focusing, like whatever you focus on is what you actually get. So if you're just focusing on that break even and you're wondering why you can't get past that point, it's because you need to be asking for bigger. Most people are inspired to take greater action when they ask for bigger things.
Yeah, in the military, we call that you get what you inspect.
So once they're in that mindset of, hey, I want to start making money, do you have any insight into specific sorts of income streams that they could take on and focus on?
Yeah, so one of my best income streams is joy. It sounds weird. It sounds esoteric. It sounds like you should turn off this podcast right now, but money follows joy.
All right, you're saying joy. Okay. I hear you right? Joy. All right.
J-O-Y. Because money actually follows joy and joy doesn't follow money. Like we all think that, you know, money can at least help with happiness, but truly you have to be willing to make a choice to create that yourself. And then truly money does then follow. It's like if you're having a party. It's like if I said, hey guys, I'm having a party. There's going to be no food. There's going to be music. I'm going to bitch about you when you arrive and why you were so late in coming. And then when you leave early, and then I'm going to say, why did you even come in the first place? All you do is go, go, go. And like, who wants to come to my party? Mm-hmm. Like, money is a bit like that. But then I said, hey guys, I'm having this party. I'm not sure if you can make it, but I would love it if you'll come. There'll be food. We'll be having a great time. I'll be grateful for you no matter how long you stay. Then you immediately want to, that's the party you want to go to, right?
Definitely.
Exactly. So what you're saying is kind of like maybe your attitude on this, which is permeating you in your business, it reflects in your clients and how your clients will end up perceiving you.
Exactly. We've all been sold to by the person that needs money. And, you know, how did you feel? Mm-hmm. It wasn't your best experience as a customer, was it? But if you're having this more sense of gratitude for everyone that shows up in your life, whether it's just for a free consultation or whether they book your highest service package, like whatever that is, if you're willing to have gratitude and enjoy every single person that's coming to your business, no matter what they're choosing, you become the greater invitation and people will remember that.
Yeah, I like the way you put that because it puts some rubber on into the road of what they, you know, to always be saying, hey, I appreciate your business, but that can just be a bumper sticker unless you're truly communicating that with people. And through that, you know, through that joy mindset, that joy coming from the business that they're generating, that can bleed over and influence the way they perceive you.
Exactly.
Well, you know, wealth creation requires, you know, thinking outside of the box like this. Rebecca, what are some other, you know, unconventional financial advice that you can share with our listeners?
Well, one of the things that I would always look at is, do you actually have all the key players in your team? You know, for so many entrepreneurs, you're a one-stop shop. And is that what is going to take you to being a thriving business? So to me, the whole concept of the self-employed is, even though that may be what you legally need to call yourself, if that's what you're calling yourself in your head, it's not necessarily what is going to get you further, because then you're limiting your business to just what you can do yourself. So when you're one-person shop, what you need to do is start to look at, do I have the key players that can actually contribute to me here? And it's not about hiring staff full time. It's not about spending any money that you don't have. But it's like, is there someone that you can go to and ask questions as more of a business mentor when you need to get a different perspective? do you have a fantastic accountant that has your back and is willing to look at the creative needs that an entrepreneur has? That one's really important, actually. And, you know, please, in saying this, you can have consultations with as many accountants as you need to get the right fit. You do not have to go with the first person or the person that you've always been with. No accountant should ever have any ties to you, but you should find the person that is willing to work with you. That one's really important. But truly, building your team that can have your support, it can be as simple as having someone, you know, help open your mail and do a couple of admin tasks for you. But when you start to build something beyond yourself, it can be a greater contribution in the world and your business starts to snowball.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, smaller home-based businesses, they're growing virtually, you know, creating virtual corporations and companies. I mean, look at us, we're having a discussion like it's real time and you're halfway around the world. And, you know, you can't limit yourself that the people you can partner with and gain leverage to grow your business and entity, they can be pretty much anywhere in the world now. It's just, you know, breaking out of your comfort zone and working with people virtually.
Exactly. It's so easy, truly.
Rebecca Holst, this has been a great discussion on breaking financial taboos and gaining financial independence and wealth. Do you have any final points you would like to share?
You know, what if you could actually have fun with money? You know, it doesn't have to be this big, significant thing. Like, yes, we desire it for our bodies and everything that they require in this world. And yes, you want your business to be successful, but don't forget that you're also gone in business to do something different. If you're listening to this podcast, you want to do something different with your life and your business. So do not forget to have some fun along the way. It will work out if you change your point of view to one that will help you work it.
Shift to looking at money with a little bit of joy. Well, Rebecca Holst, thanks for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on our show. To learn more about Rebecca Holst, visit RebeccaHolst.com, our website, for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more info, visit homebusinessmag.com or our expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Anderson saying, anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.